Well, good evening, brothers and sisters. I'd like to invite you now to open up your copy of the scriptures to Ruth chapter 3. Ruth chapter 3. As we continue our study of this book, I want to remind you that we began in chapter 1 in a famine land, and a great distress came over Naomi and her daughter-in-laws as Naomi lost her husband, and the daughter-in-laws had lost their husbands, Naomi's sons. And they sojourned back, having heard that the Lord had blessed his people in Bethlehem with a harvest, with an abundance, with plenty. And they come back to Bethlehem, and they find themselves in a time of harvest. And what Ruth finds there as she comes back to the land is an opportunity to show faithfulness to her mother-in-law by going out and working in the fields. And we see God's providence and his kindness and his care, because she just so happens to find herself in one of the kinsman redeemer's fields, who is a worthy man, a man, a magnanimous man, a man of great wealth, but also a man who's not only a magnanimous man, but he's a man of mercy. He's also a man of grace. And in that broad daylight, he blesses Ruth. And we come now to our passage this evening, Ruth chapter 3. And mark out, remember that at the end of chapter 2, we've come to the end of the barley and wheat harvest. We've come to the end of the barley and wheat harvest. And Naomi finds herself in another predicament. What are we going to do now that the harvest is over? What do I do now that the harvest is over? And so we pick up with the reading of God's word in Ruth chapter 3. Ruth chapter 3, verse 1. Let's read the word together, knowing that it's God's inspired and errant word given to you, his people, to strengthen and build you up in your most holy faith. Hear now the word of God. Ruth chapter 3, verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not seek rest for you, that it may be well with you? Is not Boaz our relative with whose young women you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your cloak and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." And she replied, "All that you say, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had commanded her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. Then she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. At midnight, the man was startled and turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. He said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." And he said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after younger men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask. For all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. And now it is true that I am a redeemer. Yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight, and in the morning, if he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until the morning." So she lay at his feet until the morning, but arose before one could recognize another. And he said, "Let it be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." And he said, "Bring the garment you are wearing and hold it out." So she held it, and he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "How did you fare, my daughter?" Then she told her all that the man had done for her, saying, "These 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said to me, you must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law." She replied, "Wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out. For the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today." This is God's word. Let's give him thanks for his word this evening. Our great and glorious God, we do thank you for your word. We thank you how you have shown your kindness and your steadfast love and your providence to your people through the works of your people, loving and caring for one another as we've studied this book together. Lord, we continue to marvel and be amazed at how you show your faithfulness to your people, even in this account. Lord, we pray that you would open our eyes to see beautiful things from your word, that you would open our hearts to receive instruction from your word, that our minds would be enlightened. But more than anything, Lord, we ask that we would hear the word, having received it, we would also put it into practice. We would hear and obey your word, knowing that you have called us here this evening that you might speak to your servants, your people. Lord, we are here. We've come to be with our Redeemer. Speak, for your servant is listening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we come to this text, and as it's outlined for us here in this passage, I want you to see that verses 1 through 5, Naomi charts a plan. First, we see the plan of what's this goal of bringing rest to Ruth. Naomi says in the first verse, she says, "My daughter, should I not seek rest for you, or a home for you, or a household for you, that it may be well with you?" See, that's her plan. The harvest and the barley season has, the harvest has come to an end. The wheat and barley harvest has come to an end. And Naomi says, "Here we are, two widows. The harvest is over. We can't send her out to work every day anymore. How can we bring rest to our household? How can we bring rest to Ruth?" And here's the plan. She gives it to us in verses 1 through 5. She instructs Ruth exactly what she is to do. And notice how Ruth responds to the instructions of her mother-in-law in verse 5. And she replied, "All that you say, I will do." She hears the instructions, she gets the plan, and she says, "I'm in." And then verses 6 through 15, we begin to see the encounter of Ruth with Boaz. I want you to mark that this happens under the cover of night. Her first encounter with Boaz was in broad daylight, out in the open, out in the fields, gleaning. But this encounter happens at night. She goes under the cover of night, under the cover of darkness, for this encounter to meet with Boaz. And then verses 16 through 18, we have Ruth's return and report to Naomi about the encounter. Again, verses 1 through 5, we see the plan. Let's just mark out what Naomi gives to her daughter-in-law as the plan. She says, "Remember, Boaz, our Redeemer, you must go to him. You know, the one you were gleaning with his young women, that man, go to him. But here's how you were to approach him. See, he's winnowing tonight at the threshing floor. He's keeping late hours tonight. He's going to be up late. He's going to be feasting with his friends. And, you know, being out there at this point and under the darkness, this is a time for you to go and to seek him out." But how should she approach Boaz? Verse 3 tells us that Naomi tells her to wash herself, anoint herself, put on a cloak, and go down to the threshing floor, but not to make herself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Wash yourself, anoint yourself, put on a cloak. Adorn yourself, cleanse yourself, put on a pleasing aroma. Make yourself attractive, unforgettable, noticeable. But more than that, it's on this idea of prepare yourself as if you're going to a wedding. Prepare yourself as you're going to go approach someone to be wed to them. Ezekiel chapter 16. When the Lord found Israel, he says that he finds them in deep trouble, but he comes to them in verse 16, chapter 16 of Ezekiel, verse 9, he says, he comes and he finds his people, and he says in verse 9, he says, "When I found you, I bathed you with water. I washed off your blood from you and anointed you with oil. I clothed you also with embroidered cloth and shod you with fine leather. I wrapped you in fine linen and covered you with silk. And the image here is the Lord taking this people Israel in their filth and in their unloveliness. He takes them and makes them lovely and prepares them as that they are a bride for him. Naomi says to Ruth to go and to follow the same course here. Wash yourself, anoint yourself, and don yourself with a cloak. Where I grew up, we'd say, doll yourself up. Why all the trouble? Well, the intention is that for her to go to Boaz in a presentable way, but also in a way that can be, well, sort of a disguise. Because Boaz would never have seen her like this before. She'd always go out and glean. Probably not wearing her cloak, not having anointed herself, and not having bathed. I mean, she's going out to do dirty work. So, in some sense, she's saying to her, disguise yourself in a way that he's never seen you before, nor has anyone else. And so she prepares herself to go. And then further, as the plan carries on, he says, go and be patient. Wait till he's done, finished eating and drinking. Wait for him. Observe the place. Keep an eye on him. Keep yourself at a distance, cloaked in your robe. Keep yourself at a distance and wait until you find out where he goes and lies down. And then, and only then, should you go to him. Naomi says, then go and uncover his feet. Lie down, and mark this. He will tell you what to do. He will tell you what to do. That's the plan. And Ruth says, okay. Next, we see the encounter in verses 6 through 15. Ruth begins the journey to go and go to the threshing floor. And it says that in verse 6, so she went down to the threshing floor and she did just as her mother-in-law commanded. Do you see that? Do you see how intent she is to put into practice the words of instruction that she's received from her elders? Boaz gives her instructions in chapter 2. She does them. Here in this passage, Naomi gives her instructions to do and she does them. This is a very faithful and diligent daughter. One who's intent on receiving instruction and also heeding the words that she's been given to do. She's attentive and she's also obedient to a point. There's a change here. There's something that happens in the text. Remember when it says that Naomi says in verse 4, when you come to the place, lie down, uncover his feet, and then he will tell you what to do. But verse 7 says that Naomi comes, Ruth comes, she approaches him, and when Boaz had finished eating and drinking, and his heart was merry, he goes to lie down. Verse 8 says, at midnight, before that it says, then she came and softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. And at midnight, the man was startled and he turned over, and behold, a woman was laying at his feet, and there she is. And startled awake by her presence, he's kind of at a loss for words, but he gives her this question. And it's an important question, and the question is going to appear twice in the text. First time, it's here in verse 9. Boaz says, who are you? And she answered, I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer. She goes to him. She finds the place where he's lying down. She uncovers his feet and lays her head, and he is startled to find the woman there. And he asks, who are you? And remember what Naomi's instructions were. He will tell you what to do. But Ruth takes the initiative here. Having sought him out, she comes and she supplicates him to redeem her. She appeals to him. She humbly and gently begs him to do what she needs him to do for her. She makes supplication. She supplicates him, asks him. She doesn't wait for him to act. She tells him what to do. Again, look at it in verse 9. Who are you? Note she says, I am Ruth, your servant. Having sought him out, she comes to him, supplicating him in a humble way. She does not say, I'm Ruth the Moabite. What a change. I am one who's come to you having received your benevolence, received your kindness, your grace, and your mercy, and I have come to you now and laid myself at your feet as your servant. I have humbled myself before you. Now you, since I've come to you, spread your wings over your servant. Take me under your care. Draw me to yourself. Take me as your beloved. Bring me into your household. Bring me into your family. Mark me out as yours. Spread your wings over me. Remember Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 8, 9? Look at Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 8. The Lord says, when I passed by you again and saw you, behold, you were at the age of love. And I spread the corner of my garment over you and covered your nakedness. And I made my vow to you and entered into a covenant with you, declares the Lord your God, and you became mine. I spread my garment over you. I spread my wings out over you. And having done that, you became mine. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 8. That's what the Lord says to Israel. And Ruth goes to Boaz, saying to him, spread your wings over me, your servant. Take me to yourself. A widow, yes. Your servant, yes. But why? What grounds does she have to make this appeal? She says, spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer. You are a man who has the authority, the power, the permission, and having encountered him before, she knows he is a man, a worthy man, a man who is able to actually fulfill the duty because he knows the covenant. He's one who knows the covenant. And she says, I know who you are. Here's who I am. Redeem me. Having sought him out, she supplicates him to redeem her. And then what we see following is that she submissively waits on him to act. She submissively waits on him and pays attention to him and waits for him to fulfill what she's asked him to do. She seeks him out. She appeals to him, supplicates him to redeem her. And then the text carries on. He speaks to her, but she waits on him. Verse 10 says, and he said to her, having that appeal from Ruth, he says, may you be blessed by the Lord. My daughter, you have made this last kindness, this last faithful act, this demonstration of chesed, you have made this last kindness greater than the first, and that you've not gone after younger men, whether poor or rich. Verse 11, now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. I've received your appeal. You've come to me, and you actually came to me when you could have gone to anyone else. You could have gone to younger, more wealthier men. You could have had your pick of the litter. But you came to me. Why did she come to him? Because she's a worthy woman. And how do we know she's a worthy woman? Chapter 1, chapter 2, and even now in chapter 3. Did we not see in chapter 1 Ruth's radical allegiance to Naomi? I will not let you go. I will go wherever you go. Your God will be my God. However it goes with you, that will be my future too. Your story is my story. My life is wrapped up in your life. I am fully committed to you. See the allegiance she has for her mother-in-law? Radical allegiance. But then in chapter 2, we saw that she's also demonstrating persistent fidelity. She continues to show steadfast love and kindness to her mother-in-law by waking up early in the morning, working all throughout the hours of the day, staying late at night, and bringing home whatever she's gleaned from the fields. And that just wasn't a one-time event. It said that she continued to do that throughout the harvest, that she kept showing up. She kept gleaning to provide for her mother-in-law, bringing home enough for them to eat, enough for them to be sustained, day in and day out. Even in famine, leaving a foreign land, Ruth shows covenant faithfulness to her mother-in-law. Oh, a Moabitess. Remember, she's not an Israelite, but she's embodying the ideal Israelite, showing steadfast love and faithfulness to her mother-in-law, showing loving kindness to her neighbor. That was chapter 1. There in chapter 2, we see it again. She's showing that fidelity, that commitment to stick with her through the harvest, to not take a day off, but to consistently keep showing up in the early morning, in the heat of the day, and late at night. A faithful, diligent, virtuous, worthy woman who shows kindness to her mother-in-law. But Boaz says, this last kindness, you have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you've not gone after younger men. What does he mean by that? See, Ruth has a reputation in town now. The reputation of Ruth in town is not, oh, she's a Moabite woman. No, it says that at the city gates, which is, you know, kind of like the corner coffee shop, where the guys gather around and talk business and talk shop and make deals with each other, what's the reputation of Ruth in the city gates? My fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. You are a virtuous woman. You are a woman worth marrying. You're someone that any wise man, any young man who's looking for a wife should be pursuing you, because that's your reputation in the city gates. A foreigner. One who's shown such faithfulness to her mother-in-law. One who's shown faithfulness by showing up to work hard every day. One who now comes to Boaz. And what we see by Boaz calling her my daughter is that he's probably quite a bit older than her. And she could have gone to anyone to say, marry me, take me into your household, I'll be your wife, I'll do your laundry, I'll do your dishes, my track record's great, ask my mother-in-law, ask the men in the city gate. But no, she goes to Boaz, and the reason that Boaz says that this last act is greater than the first is, you are showing steadfast love and faithfulness again to your family, over and over and over again. You are keeping your commitment to your mother-in-law by coming to me. You could have gone to anyone, but you've come to me because you're not just caring for yourself, you're also caring for your mother-in-law, Naomi. I'm her kinsman redeemer, and you have drawn near to me, probably an older man, a worthy woman, and you came to me. This kindness is greater than the first. And he says, because of your faithfulness, because of who you are, and because of your reputation, but more importantly, because you came to me and you made this appeal, he says, I'll redeem you if I can. I'll redeem you if I can. And so she remains there with him under the cover of night. And what we see following is, she leaves him having received again from him another blessing. He does not let her go away empty-handed. And that's important for us to mark out. He says to her, I'm going to redeem you if I can redeem you. There's another one that's closer, and I need to go work this out. And if he can redeem you, then good. But if he doesn't redeem you, I will redeem you as the Lord lives. He seals it with that promise. But he has her get up early in the morning before the sun rises, and he says to her, that cloak you wore, that fancy covering, give it to me. And he fills it. He fills it with grain. He takes what he has again and pours out the barley into the cloak. And it says he put it on her. It's another load. It's a heavy load. He gives it to her and she bears this load and she takes it back into town to her mother. And her mother-in-law sees her coming. But her mother-in-law says in verse 16, and when she had come near to her mother-in-law, she said, how did you fare, my daughter? And it's interesting, the translation here. We could read that as, how did it go with you? Or how did you fare? But textually, it's the same question that Boaz asks her. Who are you, my daughter? Who are you? She wants to know, are you Ruth, my daughter-in-law? Or are you Ruth the Moabitess? Or are you Ruth, Boaz's wife? And she tells her, she reports, having returned to her, she reports to her all that's happened. She says, you know what? Here's how it went. I did exactly as you told me to do, up to a point. But then I took things into my own hands and I told him, hey, I'm Ruth, your servant. Put your wings over me, your servant, for you're a redeemer. And he responded positively. He responded affirmatively. But he also sent me back to you, not only with this story, but with this gift. Look at verse 16 again. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, how did you fare, my daughter? Then she told her all that the man had done for her, saying, these 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said to me, you must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law. Do you remember what Naomi said, having returned from Moab back to Bethlehem? I went away full, and I came back empty. Boaz says, I have a message for your mother-in-law. I don't want her to be empty. You're a faithful woman. Faithfully go back to her. Report what you've heard from me, but go back and fill her cupboard with this barley. I don't want her to be empty-handed. Brothers and sisters, we see again God's providential love and care, even in the darkest circumstances and darkest situation, working out here, even under the cover of night. In a small backwoods village, the Lord is showing his faithfulness. They orchestrated a plan, and the Lord meets them in their plan. And the way that the Lord works to show his steadfast love and his faithfulness to his people is through his people. Ruth, a faithful woman who had been showing God's covenant love to her mother-in-law and to others, she's marked out as a faithful woman who faithfully serves and faithfully cares for others at her own expense. She's seeking the welfare of others rather than seeking her own welfare. She goes to Boaz instead of to the younger men. She sacrifices her own will to provide for her mother-in-law, to care for her mother-in-law, but also to provide for herself. But we also see Boaz, again, a faithful man with this faithful woman, bestowing a gracious gift on a woman who said, I came back empty. And Boaz says, no, I don't want you to be empty-handed any longer. Do you see the kindness and the faithfulness of God working through ordinary people in just ordinary ways? That's how he works in his church. That's how he shows his faithfulness to his people. By people getting a vision of what God is like and living in a relationship to one another in that way. Ruth comes to this country as a foreigner. She works hard. She shows herself to be committed fully to her mother-in-law, committed to the work to provide for her mother-in-law, but she's also committed to the future of Elimelech's household by giving herself fully to Boaz, by saying, "Take me as your own. Take me as your wife." Now, the details still have to get worked out, but Boaz commits to her. God is showing his steadfast love and faithfulness and his kindness through the means of ordinary people. And Naomi, the one who was heartbroken and without what seemed like hope in the previous passages, here she's received a blessing even from Boaz through the hands of Ruth. Ruth is sent with a message, but also with a measure of grace to her mother-in-law and saying, "We're going to be all right." Naomi plans to give rest or to seek rest for her daughter-in-law. But notice what Naomi says to Ruth in verse 18. Let's look at verse 17 and following. "These 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said to me, 'You must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" And it says that Naomi replied, "Wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest, but will settle the matter tonight." Naomi goes seeking rest, and Boaz will take no rest until this is all worked out. What faithfulness, what diligence, what grace. But what I want you to see in this is that in this seeking out the good of the other, we are seeing God's faithfulness demonstrated through this story. Naomi is a picture of Israel. Depleted, empty-handed in the time of the judges. Remember, it's in the days of the judges when this all is occurring, and every man's doing according to his own will. But there's one faithful man in Bethlehem who is devoted to Torah and demonstrates Torah time and time again. Whenever we encounter him, here's Boaz showing kindness and mercy and grace and pouring out his love and his steadfast love to his neighbors. He's a picture of Yahweh in relationship to Israel. Boaz is an embodiment, in a way, of what Yahweh is like for his people in their distress. But what is the means of blessing between the two? A foreigner. Ruth. One from the nations, drawing near to Yahweh, being transformed by living in relationship to Yahweh. She begins to take on the identity of a true Israelite and blesses the Lord, but also blesses Israel. What a picture of how the Lord is at work in the world. Calling out to his people, drawing out those who are far off to himself, and showing steadfast love to thousands upon thousands upon thousands, pouring out his grace and his kindness. And he's taking not only Israel and bringing him to himself, covering them with his garment, he's also bringing in the nations to himself, covering them with his garment. The Lord is showing us what he is doing in the world, even through this story. He's showing us his kindness. He's showing us his steadfast love. He's showing us his grace. He's showing not only Ruth that there's a redeemer in Bethlehem, but he's showing the church that there's a redeemer in Israel. But not only is he showing us that there's a redeemer in Israel, there's also rest for the people of God. There is a redeemer in Israel. There is a kinsman redeemer. There is one who you should be seeking out. There is one that you should go to and supplicate until he redeems you and submissively wait for him to act. That's what the Lord would have us do. That's how the Lord would have us respond to his grace. Having heard the message of the gospel, go and seek him out. Ask him, call upon him, and you will be saved. I am your servant, redeem me. Take me to yourself, cover me with your wings. We know we can do this. We know that this is for us. Because there's not just a redeemer in Israel. There's a redeemer who's drawn near to Israel and to the nations. And he's called to all of us. And he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Brothers and sisters, there's a redeemer in the world. And there's a rest for the people of God. Seek him out. Call upon his name. He will act. Let's wait for his redemption together as we wait to see how the rest of the book of Ruth pans out. And I know you know where this is going. But you have to let it hang, don't you? You have to just let it suspend there for a minute to go, how is this going to end? Because you and I are living in a world where we've been have precious promises, one who says he will redeem you. And aren't we waiting for redemption? Aren't we waiting for the one who says he's going to give us rest to actually come? And he started the work, but he's going to fulfill the work. Sitting in that waiting period is important for us. But don't forget the promise. He will redeem. Brothers and sisters, again, there is a redeemer in Israel, and there is rest for the people of God. Go to him, call on him, wait on him to act. He will redeem. Let's pray. Our great and gracious God, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how you have called us here tonight to sit underneath the reading and the preaching and the singing and the praying of your word. Lord, we pray that we would be a people who have come into relationship to you such a way that you begin to transform the way that we relate to you and also relate to one another. Lord, having received instruction, having seen how you worked in Ruth's life, we also see the demonstration, a picture of a faithful woman who, having received the word of instruction, she goes and she fulfills that word. Lord, we come seeking you. We come calling out to you. And Lord, we still, even this night, this evening, wait for redemption that is coming to us in fullness. We have a taste and a glimpse of it in Christ. And Lord, we look for the full consummation of your redemption for us in the new heavens and the new earth, where you will come and make all things new. And we will be your bride and you will be our groom. Lord, we pray that we would hear your word, we'd respond to it rightly, and you would call your people to greater faith and obedience as we hear and apply your word to our life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.